So we're on Daf Tesamid Aleph. And we're discussing a machlokes between Abai v'Rava about what's called Bein Alechayayin. It would seem that as far as Tachas HaKora is concerned, both Abai and Rav agree within the framework of Rabbi Yochanan that his shita would be that you're allowed to carry under the Korah. However, with regard to Bein Alechayayim, here we have a machlokes between Abai and Rav. And just on a simple level, Abai is of the opinion that if we allow him to carry Bein Alechayayim and a lechi, we said, is a mashuhu, we have to worry about the possibility that he'll go one step further out into Rishus HaRabim, and Rav is not concerned with that. And Rav quoted a statement of Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan in order to prove his point. And we had, if you recall, a Mokum Ptur, and Rabbi Yochanan said the following, that you can take from Rishus HaYochid and put something down, Lekatev, onto Mokum Ptur, or the B'nai Rishus HaRabim or in Rishus HaRabim, they could use the Mokum Ptur Lekatev Olav, as long as they don't take it from here to there. In other words, as long as they're not working in cahoots, or one person is going to run around and pick it up from the Mokum Ptur. In any event, Rav proved from this that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the lechi itself, Bein Alechayayim, is mutter, because the lechi itself is a Mokum Ptur. So if the Mokum Ptur, because as we said before, it doesn't have the width of 4 Tfachim square, then it should be mutter. It should be mutter to Bnei Mavui to continue down the Mavui, carrying something and putting it down in the Bein Alechayayim, because that's a Mokum Ptur. And for the Bnei Rishus HaRabim as well, it might be mutter for them to put it down Bein Alechayayim. Here we had a whole discussion. Rashi seems to assume that the Bnei Rishus HaRabim would be allowed to use the Bein Alechayayim because it's a Mokum Ptur. And we had a very fundamental problem that the Rashba raised, because a Mavui has three mechitzos, and Midoraisa, that should make it into Rishus HaYochid, and that's what we discussed in the last shiur. The Gemara then asked, what is Abai going to say in a counter argument against Rava? And he answers the following, that in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, where he allowed you to avail yourself of the Mokum Ptur, that's because it's not 4x4 Tfachim, and it also has a gova to it. It has a height to it. The height is 3 Tfachim. And in that case, it becomes a Mokum Choluk Bifnei Atzmo. It's Nikar as a separate entity, a separate place, separate location. And therefore, we don't have to worry about somebody, you know, mistakenly thinking, well, if I'm allowed to use this little, protrusion that rises from the ground 3 Tfachim and it's less than 4 Tfachim, I might come to carry in Rishus HaRabim. There was no Gzeres Chachom as far as that Mokum Ptur is concerned. But on the other hand, in the case of Bein Alechayayim, which is karka, you know, it's not an object that sticks out of the karka above 3 tfachim, then even if the Bein Alechayayim is not 4x4 tfachim, but nevertheless, it doesn't stand out as a mokum anikar bifnei atzmo, and therefore, says Abai, we'd have to, and Rabbi Yochanan would agree, we'd have to worry about carrying Bein Alechayayim, because he might carry it out into Rishus HaRabim. Now we're up to Abaye, and Abaye says that I have a source to prove that Bein Alechayayim is prohibited. And this is going to be a statement in the name of Rav. And that's called Pesach Tzorech Lechi Acher Lehatiro. This will be our last review of Thursday's Shiur. And then we're going to start Rava here. But again, we really can't start Rava because we have to know what Rava's countering argument. And let's understand the argument of Abai, and then we'll go on to the counter argument of Rava. So Abai's argument was that we have something called Ptsimim, in which you've got the Mavui. At the end of the Mavui, there's a Kosel. There are two Ksolim on the Tutsi, they are Mavui. And that Kosel has another attachment to it on both sides. Those are called Ptsimim. Ptsimim are otherwise known in Hebrew as Mezuzos Mashkov. And these are wide areas that should logically function, either one of them, as a lechi. And yet, Rav said, no, you are not allowed to carry between this area, Bein HaPtsimim, HaPtsimim, and that's called Tocha Pesach. We need another lechi. So it's not enough to set up. So basically these psimim will serve as lechi for the entire mavui. But as far as the area between one of them and the other one, that needs another lechi. And what that means is that you have two lechayayim here, these two psimim, and the area between them is aser betiltel unless he adds another lechi. And that would l'chora prove Abaye Shita that Bein HaLechayayim is also. This Bein HaPtsimim is exactly equivalent, or it's a mirror image of Bein HaLechayayim. And it's also. You need a separate lechi to be matir Bein HaTsimim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Abaye has no proof, because perhaps we're talking about simim that have the width. Again, we're not talking about the length. We're talking about the width, meaning going down into the mavui of arbal arbat fochim. So it means that the simim, which are very wide, and they go down four tfochim into the mavui. And that's not a case of Bein HaLechayayim. That's a case where you have an area that's considered a mavui unto itself, which is something that we've discussed in the past, that if you have a certain area that is designated unto its own, and he says that shetach, that area, is nidon kimakom bifnei atzma. It has its own status. It's not actually part of the mavui. It's a separate mavui, if you will. And the halach of a separate mavui is that it has a din like a karmel. So you're not allowed to carry there unless you add a lechi. So the Gemara says that would have been a very appropriate counter argument against Abaye. No proof from Rav, except for a statement of Rav Chanin bar Rava, in the name of Rav, that Tocha Pesach Afal Pisha Ein Bo Arbal Arbat Tzorch Lechi Achel Atiro. Even if the width of these simim is less than four tefachim, nevertheless I need another lechi. And the reason I need a lechi is Bein HaLechayayim is also. Here's a clear-cut proof to Abaye. So here's where we're going to start today. The Rava. Let's just see, we're on Daf Tesam and Aleph. And Rava's counter argument, if you see the Tosfos Divrei Maskil Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which is the last Tosfos on the Amud, then if you drop down about eight lines, the first word in the line is Tzarech, or if you want to count up from the end of the Amud, you'll count up about 12 lines. V'Rava, Rava will counter and he'll say, Hasam, de'pasuach le'karmelis. Okay, this is a principle that's called Matzah Min Es Mino Niyar, which is a Gemara in Masechta Bechoros. So what happens here, normally when we talk about a Mavui, the Mavui, if you walk down the Mavui, it spills into a Rishus HaRab. Rav is saying that this case of Rav is a case where the Mavui spills into, pours into a Carmelis. And since it pours into a Carmelis, we have to be more Machmir, and we need a separate Lechi. In your classic Mavui, which the Rosh Hashanah goes into the Mavui, it says, Rav, Bein al-Chayayim is Mutter. In what case is Bein al-Chayayim Asur? When you go from a Carmelis, let's say a Bika, you go into this Mavu. And the Bein al-Chayayim is considered an extension of the Carmelis, and it needs a Matir of a Lechi. So the Gemara right away jumps on Rava. Aval Rishusa Rabbi Mai Shari. But what do you tell me? When do you need a Lechi to be Matir Bein al-Chayayim? In this case of Tzimim, that's when it spills into a Carmelis. But if it spills into a Shusarabim, then all of a sudden we drop all the requirements and you don't need a Lechi for Bein al-Chayayim. The Gemara calls that Yatziva Biara Vegira B'Shmei Shmaya. This is a phrase, an idiomatic phrase that the Gemara often uses. Literally translates as you have a citizen who's a primary permanent resident, and you put him down onto the karka, in other words, you mashpil him. Then you have a ger who comes from the outside, and all of a sudden you put him all the way up to the heaven, the top of the heavens. That's counterintuitive. You know, the local citizens should get that respect more so than the aliens, the foreigners. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that Rava is saying the exact opposite, the antithesis of logic. Logic would tell me that Rosh Hashanah is Doraisa, and it's much more Chomer than a Carmelis, which is only a rabbinic Shavus. How is it possible that a Mavui, which opens up into a Carmelis, would have a more Chomer Dika status than a Mavui that pours into a Rosh Hashanah? As far as the Bein Halacha Yayim are concerned, Gemara says, in there is a Svara behind Rav's distinction. A Mavi that opens into a Carmelis is more Chomer in the eyes of the Chachamim than a Mavi that opens up into a Rosh Hashanah. And that's called Matzah Min Es Mino V'Neor, which is a principle that works throughout Shas. That when you have something that's dormant, but if it attaches itself to something very similar that's active, the active element arouses the dormant from its sleep, so to speak. And how do we apply that here? And then I'll mention a few words about the original formulation of this principle in Masechet Bechoros. He says the following, that if this area, which parallels the Lechi, right? It's from one Lechi to the other side. It's very similar to a Carmelis. Now, as we don't know what the status of Bein al-Chayayim is. That's called a sleeping, you know, non-active situation. But now it attaches itself to a Carmelis. Right side out of the Mavui, directly outside, you cross the boundary at the end of the Mavui, you're in a Carmelis. Ah, that Carmelis now activates this unknown area, which is Bein al-Chayayim, unknown, uncharted. You know, it's not defined and it doesn't have an identity. It's like how do you say in English, a Chomer Golem. You know, it's like raw material. It has no personality, no identity. But now it attaches to the Carmelis, and the Carmelis rolls into this Bein al-Chayayim, it kind of awakens the Bein al-Chayayim and gives it the status of an extension of the Carmelis. And now the Bein El Chayayim is like Batel to the caramels. And that's because it's Matzah Minis Mina. In other words, the Bein El Chayayim is also like the caramels, right? It's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. It's kind of like a faceless, anonymous blob. And now, since the Rabbanon established that, let's say, a Bika in that case is a caramelist, and it's also a Tiltul, now that caramelist is going to sort of spread its wings, and incorporate the Bein El Chayayim, and give it a status of a caramelist. And it's going to awaken it from its slumber. So what it means is the following. If not for the caramelists, then this Bein El Chayayim would be considered what we said, unidentified. It doesn't have an identity. It would be swallowed up by the Mavui. It would be bottled to the Mavui. And just like the Mavui is Mutav B'Tiltul, then the Bein El Chayayim would be Mutav B'Tiltul. But now that it opens up into a caramelist, then the caramelist extends into the Bein Halachayayim and gives that area an identity of a caramelist. If, on the other hand, the Mavui opens into a Rishus HaRabim, then this area called Bein Halachayayim is not connected, it doesn't integrate into the Rishus HaRabim. It's not similar at all to Rishus HaRabim, but rather it's very similar to a caramelist. And therefore the Rishus HaRabim is not going to in any way engender any status and expand to awaken the Bein El Chayayim and give it the status of Rishus HaRabim, because it doesn't have any of the elements of Rishus HaRabim. It's set aside in the Mavui, and it's got a Lechi. So what could sort of awaken and strengthen the Bein El Chayayim and give it some sort of a hello, you have a status, that could be a caramelist. So let me take a moment to mention a Gemara in Bechoros. Let me see where I have. Oh, on Daf Chav Beis in Bechoros, we have a case called Tuma that was Batel, and then it was Chozer Veneer. Something reactivated it and awoken it from its slumber. And that's a case of some sort of a mixture between what's called Tzir Dagim and Mayin. So Tzir Dagim is like the blood of a fish, and that was mixed with water. Now, you purchased this mixture from an Amoretz. The Amoretz, when he mixes the water with the seer, we're assuming that his mayim is tmeim, right? It was only the prushim, you know, the very religious people who were very dedicated to Tumah V'Tara back in the day, and then anything you got from them you could assume was Becheskes Tara, but not so in the case of an Amoretz. Now, what happens if you have Rov Tzir and Miut Mayim? So in such a case, Im Rov HaTzir Eino Me'amayim El Mizeas HaDogim She'eino Choshuv Mashke L'Kabel Tumah Yochol L'Shtamesh BaTzir B'Tara L'Fi Shamayim HaTmeim Botlu B'Rov Zeas HaDogim HaTahorim The Af HaMayim Nitaru. So this is really interesting. He's saying that the Mayim, although technically might be Tomei, it really doesn't have a definite status. When it gets mixed in with Rov Tzir, then it's as if the water now loses its Shem Mashke. Right? Mayim is Mekabel Tumah because it has a Shem Mashke, but once it's somehow mixed up with the Zeas HaDogim, then it's no longer considered Mashke. And, you know, you purchase this mixture, and you can use it B'Tara, this Tzir, because the Mayim HaTmeim are sort of like awoken or impacted by the Zeis HaDogim HaTahorim. And the Zeis HaDogim now gives the new identity to the Mayim. It's a little bit different than our case, but anyway, he says, Ach Zerak Kidei Lafes Bo Sapas Bufnei Atzma Eino Yochel Vash Satsir B'Tav Shal Acher Shamayim B'Tzir Yimtzu Mayim Acher. He says the following: when you have this combination of Tzir and Mayim unto itself, and you want to cook it or do what you want with it, if you want to use it as a dip, let's say, yeah, I don't know why this was such a fancy dip, but okay, fine. So you have fish juice, I guess you'd call it. So that's okay. However, let's say he wants to take this mixture of tzir and mayim, and he wants to cook it. Now, when you cook something, you cook it in water. So there's the natural water that you're putting into the pot, and then the water that was mixed with the tzir. So in such a case, we're going to say the following: Hamayim shebitzir yimtzu mayim acherim. The two waters, the water element in the mixture of the tzir together with the water that's used in the pot, yachzeru lios rov mayim. Now the water that was mixed with the tzir takes on a different entity unto itself, because now the tzir has sort of lost its power against the mayim. You know, it's as long as the tzir, we said, was rov tzir with a miyud of mayim, that's one thing. And then the mayim can be purified, so to speak, by the tzir in this combination, this mixture. But once you mix this first concoction with the water in bishul, you throw it into a pot, now the water element in this mixture becomes prominent, becomes predominant. And at that point, he says, Yachzeru lios rov mayim al pnei zeas hazdogim, v'atumah shebemayim tachzor vitis orer, because a matzah minis mino v'neor. So in other words, initially we said that the water had no status unto itself, it was geschlept by the tzir, because the tzir was prominent. Now that he puts it into a pot with water in it, the mayim becomes prominent. And now the mayim sort of reawakens from its slumber, and once again, manifests its identity as mayim. And the mayim here was tame when you got this mixture from the amor. Okay, I mean, just to give you a flavor for what's called niar. Niar means to awaken something. So, you know, you had one mixture and element, we'll call it Y, which is the Mayim, was insignificant, was the minority vis-a-vis element A, which was the Tzir. But now you mix into other water, and now all of a sudden the water takes on the prominent, that's called Chozer v'Niar. Okay. Now we have a kash on Rov. Amalei Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua Rova v'at lo tizbra de bein alechayim asur. Do you really deny that bein alechayim is asur? V'a Omar, we have a statement of Rabba bar Bar Chana om Rav Yochanan. Mavui sheret safo b'lechayim. Okay, so now what we have is the following. You've got a mavui, and instead of putting up one lechi, you put up an entire series of lechis. One lechi, let's say, flat up against the, we'll call it the right wall of the mavui, just choosing. And then you have another lechi, and a third lechi, and a fourth lechi. So that's called a mavui sheritzofo bilachayayin. Okay, now this, you know, this total retzifus, this continuity of l'chayayim, one past the other, takes you into the mavui for two or three amos, and between each one of these separate lechis is pochos mochos mi arba. Okay, now this number arba has to do with the machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon about lavut. If you remember, we spoke about lavut as being three tefachim, two things, two objects that are within a distance of three tefachim are considered like they're connected. That's only according to the Rabbanon, according to Chacham. That's what we're familiar with. But there is a dissenting view of Rav Shimon Gamliel that lavut depends upon four tefachim. Now, what we're trying to figure out is there lavut between one lechi and the other? When you have this whole long line, one lechi after the other. So if the lechi, from one lechi to the other, has a space, has a distance of less than arba, then according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we still apply the principle of lavut, because he says lavut goes up to four tefachim. However, according to Chachamim, we're already outside, beyond lavut, because we're three tefachim plus. Is banu l'machlokas from Shimon Gamliel for Rabbanon? The Gemara later on is going to quote this machlokas as to what the shear of lavud is. Is l'Rab Shimon Gamliel d'yomar amrinan lavud in a case of arba tefachim? I mean, up to arba tefachim. Anything less, 3.99, is amrinan lavud. We say lavud. We apply the principle of lavud. And if that be the case, then these l'chayayim are all considered one long lechi, because it's less than four tefachim, according to Rav Shimon, to separate one lechi from the other. Mishtamesh ad chudo apnimi shel alechem alechi apnimi. Which means the following, that when you go down this mavui, you'll hit the first of this series of lechis on your left. That's where you have to stop dead in your tracks. Why? Because you're up to the lechi apnimi, the most innermost lechi, and you're up to the chudo apnimi. So let's just explain. In a normal lechi, let's say you have one lechi, so you're allowed to carry through the right up and down the mavi until you get to the chudo apnimi of the lechi, according to this statement of Rabba Bar Bar Chana in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, you see throughout this sugya, just on the side, how powerful and authoritative Rabbi Yochanan was. Almost like a Tana. You know, everyone's afraid of Rabbi Yochanan. No, Rava, you cannot contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the heter of Tiltul and Mavui, in a case of a lechi, goes up to, but not beyond, the chudo apnimi of the lechi. That's clearly against Rava, because Rava holds that Beinu L'Chayayim is mutter. Do we understand do I have to go into detail about what chudo apnimi shalalechi is, or we understand that?
No, we're okay.
You're okay, right? So every lechi has a certain, a certain width to it. So there's the chudo apnimi, which is inside the mavui, and then you have the chudo achitzoni, which is going towards the outside of the mavui. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, is since each one of these lechis is really part of one long lechi, so the your heta tiltil goes up to the beginning of the first lechi. But keneged alechi is also lira bonad the amri lo amrinan lavud. According to the Rabbanon, you cannot apply lavud here because we're beyond three tefachim. We're almost up to four tefachim. We're 3.9 tefachim between one lech and the other. Is then mishtamesh ad chudo apnimi shel achitzon. Now, it's the fourth lechi. Well, it depends how you're counting, but I mean to say the first lechi as you enter into the mavui is one long lechi, one continuous lechi, because we have the principle of lavud that applies over here. So, at what point? Up to what point are you allowed to carry in the mavui? Up to the chudo apnimi of the outer lechi, the furthest lechi, the first lechi that you see when you come in from Rishus HaRab. But Abel Bein El Chaim Kuli Amos, the machlok is here between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon, is chudo apnimi of which lechi? Is it chudo apnimi of the fourth lechi, if you follow what I mean, going in from Rishus HaRabim? Why? Because we have one long continuous lechi, Or is it the chudu apnimi of the first lechi as you come in from Rishus Aram according to Rabbanon? Because we don't apply the principle of love with here. So that first lechi is the lechi that's going to be matir tiltul. But everybody, both Rabbi Shim Gamliel and Rabbanon, agree that it's only up to, again, coming out of the lechi, only up to the chudu apnimi of the lechi. The question is, what is the lechi? Are all these four one lechi, or only the or they're separate lechis, and we're only concerned, interested in the first lechi? But Bein Alechayayim is awesome. And this clearly contradicts Rava. We're not going to allow you to carry between the lechis. We're only going to allow you to carry up to, again, when I say up to, I mean coming out of the lechi, out of the mavui, up to the chudu apnimi of the lechi. So Gemara says, Rava, what's Rava going to do with this statement of Rabbi Yochanan? Hasam Nami is going to answer, just as he answered earlier, is the Pasuch LeKarmel. It's the case of Rabbi Yochanan. Here is going to be the case, like we said in Rav earlier, that the Karmel, that the Mavui spills into a Karmelis. Which means, as we said before, Matzah Minis Mino V'Neor, that the Karmelis now extends or you know, throws its mantle over the Bein Alechayayim, and the Bein Alechayayim is an extension of the Karmelis. It needs a separate matir. So basically, we don't have to worry, according to Rava in general, about chudo hapnimi. We can be matir tiltul in the chudo achitzoni, because Bein Alechayayim is mutter. But that only applies, as we said, if the Rishus HaRavim spills into the Mavui. If the Mavui borders on a Karmelis, then even Rav agrees that Bein Alechayayim has the status of a Karmelis, and it's awesome. And that's the case that Rabbi Yochanan was discussing. So Gemara rejects this. Gemara says, Aval, Rishus HaRavim, my Shari. Are you going to tell me that you're going to be more Mekil in a Rishus HaRabim, I'm sorry, yeah, in a Rishus HaRabim than in a Karmelis? That doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense. Matzah Minis Mino V'Neor. And that's where we're up to now. Daftes Amud Beis. So let's turn to Daftes Amud Beis. Now the Gemara offers another interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan about the case of Matsu of Mavui Shiritzafo Bilchayayim, which is also going to satisfy Rav, meaning going to answer the question of Rav about Bein Alechayayim. Rav Ashi Omar, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're allowed to be metaltil Bein Alechayayim like Rav. Rabbi Yochanan said in a Mavui Shiyeshbo Lechayayim Ritzufim, everything depends upon the Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. But everybody agrees, that's the way we interpret it, that the heter tiltul is only from the chudo hapnimi of the lechi. That's what we said until now. Kigon, what's the case? Sheritzafo bilchayayim pachos miarba b'meshach arba amos. That the distance between one lechi and the other is less than four tfachim, and the lechayayim enter into the mavui for four amos. Until now we spoke about, if you recall, two amos, three amos, now we're up to four amos. Again, all that means is that you're adding another lechi, or maybe the lechis are a little bit broader, wider. But in any event, Rav Ashi says that's the case. The case is that if you ask me how far into the mavui do this whole series of lechis go, the answer is they go four amos. Lirab Shimon Gamliel Di Omer Amrin in love with, because the distance between one lechi and the other is less than four am, four tvach, and therefore we have lavud is havilei mavui v'tzarech lechi acher latiro. What it means is that if we see this as one continuous lechi, and the lechi penetrates into the mavui for amos, then the shetach, the area that's being covered by this lechi, is a mavui unto itself, because it has the size, the minimum size of a mavui. It's got four amos. It's havilek a mavui, and therefore it's not going to be mutter through this lechi. The lechi itself is really just creating another mavui. Okay, so more than four amos of a lechi is always considered a mavui unto itself. It's not a lechi, but rather it sets up a mavui. It's a kosel of a mavui. This was a sugi we had back on Daf Hey Omid Aleph. And if we forgot it, we need chazar. But in this case, it's matzah minis min over there. It woke us up a little bit to what we discussed back on Daf Hey. So therefore, tzorech lechi acher latiro. And this reminds us of the case of Bena Ptzimim that we discussed about. That the Gemara says, V'chitema, maybe the Bena Ptzimim is Arbal Arba, and therefore it sets up its own Mavui, and it needs another Lechi, not because of Bena L'chayayim, but because that is the Mavui. And the Gemara is applying the same exact logic here, that if this Lechi goes and goes and continues until its area in the Mavui is four Amos, then you need another Lechi, because you've created a separate Mavui. The Rabbanon, the Amri Lo Amrinan Lavud, according to Rabbanon, once the distance between one lech and the other is more than three tfachim, so there's no lavud. So you have the first lechi, which is the outer lechi, the first one that you get to when you kiss the mezuzah, so to speak, meaning when you come in from Rosh Hashanah, that is your lechi. V'lo tzarech lechi acher latiro. There's no need for another lechi. I don't have a mavui here because all I have is a lechi. So the Gemara asks, Ula Rab Shim ben Gamliel, is lehevi nira mi bachutz v'shave mi bifnim? And what's the deal with nira mi bachutz v'shave mi bifnim, which is actually the next sugya that we're going to learn. So we see here from Rav Ashi in his interpretation of Rav Shim Gamliel that this lechi, again, we're going with lavud here, right? So Rav Shim Gamliel holds we have lavud, so all these lechis, we mentioned the number four, it doesn't have to be four, but whatever the number is, they're all attached, they're all one continuous lechi, and they parallel on the left, you know, an area of four amos. So Gemara says, well, guess what? That mavui has a lechi. It doesn't need another lechi. Ah, what do you mean it has a lechi? The answer is that this is a lechi that's nira mi bachutz. Right, what happens? You have the wall on the right side of a mavui. We're talking about the end of the wall towards Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the mavui. Then next to that wall, in effect, you have another wall. And that wall could serve as a lechi. What is that other wall? It's made up of all of these lechis, one after the other, that are within four tfachim, one of the other, and therefore there's lavud. So what's the deal in the following scenario? you've got a kosel amavui, and in effect you put another kosel, or another piece to the kosel, which is tzamud, which is attached to that kosel. Does that extra piece serve as a lechi? Well, it works like this. If you are outside the mavui, then you clearly see an extra wall, or let's I don't know if I have to call it an extra wall. Maybe that's not the proper definition, but we'll call it an
extension,
right? And it's obvious that you see an extension here. It's apparent to the naked eye. You've got basically a vertical piece of wood, or you know, a pole that's attached to the side of the mavu. So if you're in the Rishus HaRav, which is called chutz, you see a lechi in front of you. That's called a lechi anirah mibachutz. If, on the other hand, you're inside the mavui, what you see is a piece of kosel. I don't know, again, leave out the word piece. You see a kosel that is just part of the, you know, part of the kosel of the mavui. And if you assume that a lechi that's nirah mibachutz v'shom v'fnim is a valid lechi, then why does Rav Shimon Gamliel require another lechi? He's already got a lechi, because this lechi is nirah mibachutz. And we're holding now that nirah mibachutz v'shom v'fnim is a valid lechi. So my answer is no. Midi hu taima el Rabbi Yochanan. We are coming to explain Rabbi Yochanan. And you can't ask me a question, well, there's a lechi over here, and we don't need another lechi, dahaki asa ravin of Rabbi Yochanan, because we have a tradition, comes from Ravin when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that Rabbi Yochanan holds anir mibachutz v'sham mifnim, eino nidon mishum lechi. You cannot validate a lechi that from the inside of the of the mavu, it's not obvious that it's a lechi. In order to be matir a lechi, or I should say, in order for the lechi to be matir a mavui, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that what you require is a lechi that's not only apparent from the outside, meaning for the Bnei Rishon Sarabim, you need a lechi that's obvious to the Bnei Rishus HaMavli, the Bnei HaMavli. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is interpreting Rabbi Shimon in the light of his Shita, that Nirah Mibachutz V'Shom Mifnim is Eino Nidon, it's not a valid Lechi, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all these Lechayayim through the Din of Lavud are considered one long Lechi, and you need another Lechi to be Matir, this area that's four Amos square, which is a mavui unto itself. You'll tell me that mavui has its own lechi. That lechi is only obvious to the person who's out in Rishus HaRavim. That's called mibachutz, but it's not mibifnim. It's shava mibifnim. Shava mibifnim means it's at the same, you know, it's like a kosel. It doesn't appear to be a lechi from the inside, from the mavui. And such a lechi is not a valid lechi according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, I would suggest one possibility, I'm not sure if this is correct, and that is that this shetach, this area that's four amos square, if you were to stand in that shetach, and we said that any shetach of four amos is a mavui unto itself, Well, what you're going to basically see, again, depending where you're standing, right or left, but let's say you're coming into it from the Mavui, what you're going to see on your left is not a lechi. You're going to see one long wall. That is the wall of your Mavui. Again, I'm not sure this pshat is correct. Maybe I'll come back tomorrow and I'll change it, but right now, intuitively, that's what I would say. So you're not looking, again, from the perspective inside the Mavui at a lechi. You're looking at the kosel of a lechi. So that's called Eino Nira Mibifnim. You don't see a lechi, you see a kosel. Masha'ekin it's Nira Mibachutz, because if I'm standing outside this Mavui of four Amos, in Rosh Hashanah, for example, what I'm looking at is a lechi. That's obvious. That's what I see on my right side looking into this Mavui. So from the and that's going to be the sugya that we want to cover tomorrow. And there are a whole bunch of beautiful diagrams on the sugya for tomorrow. I don't know. You have any possibility of getting a hold of these diagrams? I don't know.
I don't know those diagrams. I mean, I have some diagrams.
Okay, so if you have some diagrams, I have these very sophisticated colored diagrams for which are very helpful for the sugya that we're going to see tomorrow, which is the sugya of Lechi HaNira Mibachutz, the Eino Nira Mibifnim. So, Mirz Hashem, that's going to be our subject for tomorrow.